two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood and looked up and looked down as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere the ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in wood and I took the less one travel by, and that has made all the difference. I want to suggest to you this morning or this evening these two roads. You and I are traveling down one of two roads. We will actually choose which road that we travel down. You know, Jesus mentioned two roads, two paths, if you will, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And just as this poem suggests that we can only travel down one road, Jesus talked about the narrow road in this passage of Scripture, and this is the one that we need to travel on, he said. This road, though it may be rough and though it is narrow, it leads to eternal life. Jesus also mentioned here a broad road. It is a very smooth road. It's an easy road. It is a desirable road. But yet this road is going the wrong way. It leads to destruction. So tonight, I want us to think about the two roads. More than 2,000 years before Robert Frost penned the words of his poem about the two roads, David wrote this: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Now what I want to do tonight for just a few minutes is I'd like to take the words from Robert Frost's poem and the words of David, and I would like for us to connect these two writings together. The man who walks on the road less taken would more or less represent the man who is blessed in David's writing. The man who takes the road most traveled could represent the man that David speaks of as being wicked. So let's talk about these two ways, these two different types of men, and what they represent to us today. First of all, the blessed man. You know, the blessed man, he receives many things because of the type of life that he lives. He receives a variety of blessings because God blesses the righteous and the ones who walk a righteous life. He is extremely fortunate in terms of what lies ahead for him, because we know as Christians what lies ahead for us, even when this life is over. And he will experience genuine happiness. Not that all things will be well with us in life, but generally speaking, the Christian life is a happier life, and I think everyone knows that. The blessed man will have both positive and negative characteristics in life. First of all, let's look at the negative characteristics. David says that this man walks not. Well, what does that tell us? Well, this is referring to the activities of his life. the advice he receives, the plans he makes, his purposes in life, his practices in life will be in the right direction, and he will not walk in the wrong direction. The ungodly describes the unrighteous or the wicked who have no place for God in their lives. Therefore, they're going to walk according to the world. They're going to follow that broad path that Jesus talked about. They're going to travel down that used path that Mr. Frost talks about. Solomon says in Proverbs 4, 14 and 15, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on." The righteous man does not seek advice from those who walk in the way of the ungodly. Not only will the blessed man walk not, the blessed man will also stand not. To stand not means that is in a fixed position. He does not partner with the wicked. He will move away from the wicked. The path of the wicked is well worn, just as the broad way that Jesus speaks about and the more traveled road that Robert Frost speaks about. Its track is well defined because many people use it. The blessed man will also sit not. Now, to sit implies that we have taken up residence somewhere. It means that we have become comfortable with the company that we keep, whether it be evil or not. And we know that in this world today, so many people find comfort in being with their own kind, which is evil. In fact, we find the majority of the world doing this. The scornful is possibly worst of all. The scornful one, he mocks the truth. He scorns the truth of God and all that is good in life. From the scornful, we see here a steady progression to sin, walking in sin, standing in sin, sitting in sin, which leads us, or leads people like this, to despise God and the goodness within righteous people. So the righteous man avoids this negativity in life. But then the righteous man, the blessed man, the godly man, also has positive characteristics. Instead of seeking advice from the ungodly, the righteous man will seek guidance from the Word of God. David said he delights in it. He delights in the law of the Lord. He finds pleasure in godliness, and he enjoys being with godly people. David says he will meditate upon the Word of God because of its godliness and because of its goodness. He will ponder upon it. He will reflect upon it. And he will contemplate God's Word all day long. Now the question is, does this picture describe your road that you travel on? Let's look at the results of being blessed. The blessed man has great results. It is inevitable that the outcome of the blessed man will be good fruit. We are told as Christians to bear fruit. Listen to what David said in Psalm 92 and verses 12 through 14. "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green." That's you and me. As whether we are young or old, we are to bear fruit for Christ. And we can bear fruit for Christ whether we are young or old. And it's something that we must do throughout all of our lives. We can't bear fruit for a while and quit for a while and come back for a while and just go back and forth. And so many people try to go back and forth with their Christianity. But the true Christian, the blessed one, will bear fruit. Also, David says that its leaf does not wither. You know, this reminds me of something that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. He said, "So we do not lose heart. For though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." I know that every one of us, we age physically from year to year, but we don't age spiritually, or we shouldn't age spiritually. We should be as young and vibrant and active in the Lord's work at an old age as we are when we are young, because God's work is never done, and the Christian's work is never done. And with the true Christian, the blessed man, as David puts it, we will always be working, and our leaf will not wither, and we can continue to serve God in a great way. Then David says that the blessed man shall prosper. The righteous man who meditates upon the Word of God and follows the Word of God will always prosper spiritually. There is always good that is coming from the blessed man, and the rewards will always be great. Paul says it this way in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, "While the bodily training is of some value, goodness is of value in every way," or godliness is in value in every way. "It holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." So we shall prosper. Christianity will cause us to prosper, and if it doesn't happen in this life, it is definitely going to happen in the life to come. Great rewards, the blessed man. Great reward, the one who travels the less traveled road. But now let's look at the wicked man. There is a stark contrast between righteous and unrighteous. After saying all of these things about the righteous man, David says, "The ungodly are not so." The wicked man ignores God. The wicked man does not read the word that God has given to him. The wicked man delights in sin and worldly pleasures and not in godliness. The ungodly, he says, are like the chaff. It blows in the wind. The ungodly people, as far as their spirituality is concerned, is worthless. They are of no value to God, no value to God's people. And then he says, the ungodly will not stand in judgment. They will not be found approved of on judgment day. They will not be justified on judgment day. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 24, "The sins of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later." And the next thing he says is very interesting. Sinners will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. We need to remember, my friends, that the ungodly, those sinners, those who are vile, those who are evil, they will not stand before God and be approved of, because they have deliberately and intentionally walked away from God. And this is sad to say, but sometimes this includes those who at one time dedicated themselves to God. Righteous people sometimes do not follow the Word of God, and they destroy their own salvation when they turn away from God and follow after worldliness. These are the ones who fall away from using their talents for God. These are the ones who are simply unconcerned about the church and about the work of God and the work of godly people. These are the ones who give no thought to Christian service in their lives. These are the ones who say, "Let someone else do it. I've done it enough. I'm going to stop." Remember what I said. We serve God spiritually in our youth and in our old age. One day, both the righteous and the unrighteous will stand before God, and we and the righteous and the unrighteous in this great assembly will be separated The goats on the one hand and the lambs on the other. And we need to understand where we are right now, because where we are right now is where we can be when we stand before God in judgment. What road, my friends, are you traveling on? And here's the main thing I want you to understand tonight. Whichever road you travel, whichever path you take, the Lord knows it. He knows where you are. He knows where you've been. And He knows where you are. And if we don't remember anything else, we need to remember this from verse 6 of David's writing. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. God recognizes those who are righteous in life, and He grants His approval to them. God has prepared a great homecoming for them, an eternal home that will be for them in heaven. But remember, God does not approve of the ungodly, and there is a place waiting for them as well. It is a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels, and it all depends upon which road you take. Are you taking the road less traveled in your life? That narrow road, that road that leads to life? Or do you find yourself taking the road that everyone else takes, the broad way that leads to destruction? You have to go one way or the other. You cannot go both ways. So tonight, my friends, if you are not a Christian, I have to tell you, you're traveling down the wrong road. And you need to change your direction and give your life to the Lord and obey Him today. And to the Christian, I ask you, are you sure that you are traveling down that right road? Or maybe you have allowed something or someone to turn your head, to turn you around and make you leave that narrow, unused path and follow the ways of the world. You can come back to God tonight, and you can follow God all the way to heaven, and He will take you there if you will let Him. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing.